Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Every Saturday morning, it's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Terry takes you inside the outdoors. You know, hunting, fishing, camping. It's Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. Now, here's Terry.
All right, we're back. And before we go to our most esteemed guest, one of our favorite contributors, somebody we can't wait to talk to, we are going to wait for just a minute because I got a couple quick things. Next week, the show is going to be on ESPN from 10 to noon instead of The Fan from 9 to 11 because of a football game that happens occasionally. So do that. Because of that, our dog question giveaway, where Ben Garcia, our hunting dog expert, is asking for questions, is going to be extended out. We're still going to use all the questions that come in now, but everybody that submits a question is going to go into a drawing, and one person will be selected, and they'll get a choice between three free oil changes at Prestige Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Longmont. They have a great service department, or a $50 gift certificate from Colorado Clays. The information is on my Facebook page, Terry Wickstrom Outdoors. If you don't have Facebook, email your dog training question to terrywickstromoutdoors@gmail.com. Let's go to the phones, and joining us, our great friend, Nate Zielinski. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning, Terry. How are you today?
You know, I'm doing really well. I know we're going to talk hunting, but can we take a real quick fishing question?
Absolutely, and I got to say, that was the best intro I've ever had. I feel like that should be something we do probably every week, you know, Terry?
I should just tape that, you think, right?
Exactly. You just play it to myself all the time.
All right. Hey, while we were talking with Austin about the walleyes at Chatfield, somebody hit the text line and said, is there any way to get those fish from shore this time of year? It's kind of difficult because of what's going on, but you fish it more than I do. I thought I'd throw it out to you.
Absolutely, Terry. You know, so it's crazy. So we're here at Chatfield right now for our final catch rate event of the season. So our hours go from 7 to 3. So we're out here during the day. Normally it's a kind of an afternoon, evening kind of thing. But we're out here during the day. And honestly, Terry, if you asked me that question a month ago, I would say that the shore fishing is kind of tough. But honestly, right now as we approach that full moon that we had on Monday night, kind of kicked off our fall bite, and absolutely, I'd say shore angling, honestly, for some of the big fish, might even be better than from a boat. It really takes just a little bit of that water cool down to really kind of get those shad a little tighter up in their groups, and once those shad are a little tighter, they start bumping into structure a little more common, and that's when that shore bite.
Call my phone. Sorry about that, Nate, there.
Yeah, so right now I would say the shore bite is phenomenal. At catch rate, the very first walleye of the day today came in about 2 feet of water off the rocks on the dam. So if you're at Chatfield or Cherry Creek, you're going to really focus on points and walls. So when we say a wall, think like a dam face, a real steep structure that those walleyes can push the bait up against that wall to feed on them, or structure where those shad might bump into it. So at Cherry Creek, the entire dam face is phenomenal. I would literally spend all my time right there. You can also fish the point right by the tower and cast onto a piece of structure. So at Cherry Creek, it's all about just east of the tower or the dam face. At Chatfield, you have the entire dam face, which is very good. You can honestly go to the handicap pier point, which is basically the point just to the west of the south boat ramp, and that point's doing really well. And I would just time my technique depending on what time of the day I'm there. If you're in low light, so early or late in the day, I would be throwing jerk baits. If the sun's already up and it's pretty light out, I'd put a major focus on throwing jigging wraps and blade bait. And those techniques are going to catch a lot of fish. But honestly, Terry, right now, from now until we see an ice cap, the shore anglers are definitely starting to have a lot of increased action for the walleyes, for sure.
That's awesome. Now, I know you wanted to talk hunting. What's going on?
So, Terry, right now we are kind of in the heart of everything. So we have a bear season going. We have an elk season going. We have our deer season going. And literally starting here on the Eastern Plains, starting up next Saturday, we have our rifle pronghorn season. So we kind of want to touch base. This season started off absolutely banner for the archery hunters. We probably had one of the more successful opening weekends and first week for the elk season that we've had in many, many years. Then muzzleloader was going the last 2 weeks. It wrapped up last Sunday. And once the muzzleloader season stopped, the muzzleloaders had very good success. However, the increase you know, general hunting pressure in the woods, kind of slowed down the rut. And this is one of those things that we often see. And whether it really slows down the rut or just slows down the talking of the elk, we did see that. So kind of towards the tail end of the muzzleloader season, we saw the elk kind of slow down on the bugling, the cow calls kind of settled down, and then we're just starting to see that pick back up. But again, that's just due to obviously a lot of hunting pressure. We have, you know, all the archery hunters in the woods. We have the muzzle loading going on, and then we have a lot of obviously just general recreation with the fall color. So we definitely saw just a slight decrease in that vocabulary of the elk. So it's one of those things that you kind of anticipate, and that vocalization is coming back as we speak. So the archery hunters are out until this Thursday, and we really anticipate a strong finish to that season just as these elk are starting to talk more and more and more. And really this is kind of that peak rut. The full moon that hit Monday night, even though it kind of slows down daytime activity and increases nighttime activity, it really is kind of the solidifying act of picking up that rut. So our elk rut is in full steam, and we only anticipate it getting better and better throughout the course of the week. So that's kind of where we're sitting with the elk and the elk rut. As far as the mule deer go, again, we are in that archery season for those deer, and the velvet has come off. You guys, everybody, listeners have heard me talk about this. Those mule deer hold a pattern literally from spring. We'll call it May or June, and they hold that pattern until the velvet comes off. Our velvet, for the most part, held until the very, you know, first, second, third, fourth day of that muzzleloader season. But I would say by the midweek of that muzzleloader season, that Wednesday, Thursday, a week ago, that's when the velvet really started to come off these deer, and it changes their patterns. That's basically when they're starting to migrate a little bit, move from their summer patterns to their fall patterns. You know, they're starting to have a little more increased awareness of where they're at, where they're going to be for the rut. So as far as the deer go, if you were on a steady pattern where they were on velvet, I'm sure you had success in your hunt. If you were not finding success in the beginning part of the season, now that the velvet's off, these deer have totally changed patterns, and a lot of hunters are now seeing deer because they are now in areas where they weren't before. So long story short, we always talk about that because it's more one of those things that you as a hunter have to know. If you have a pattern when they're in velvet, make the most of it while it's there. And then the second that velvet comes off, the patterns change a little bit, and you definitely have to adapt to it. They definitely spend a lot more time in the trees. They usually drop in elevation, and just things change. So it's just good to be aware of that. So we're excited about that. So, again, hopefully all the hunters have a great remaining season. And then for everybody else getting ready for this upcoming pronghorn hunt, we're going to try to switch gears and start talking about taking out the rifles and what's going to happen with this upcoming pronghorn season.
Before we go on to anything more, I want to circle back to the elk. We've been talking quite a bit about the elk hunting coming into this week, and we've been kind of advising people not to overcall, not to be over vocal, because if they weren't in the rut yet, if they weren't bugling, you know, you could actually blow them out of your area more than communicate with them. Now that they're heavily in the rut, are you advising people maybe to be a little more vocal, or you just kind of listen to what's going on where you're at?
Exactly what you said, Terry. I would definitely listen to what the elk are. I was actually sitting in a wallow. I was in a ground blind on a wallow last Saturday, just waiting for these animals to come utilize the water source. And at 1 o'clock midday, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden a hunter just randomly walked by me, just cow calling and bugling away. And it's crazy because he actually was one of the situations where I had animals talking, I had them bugling, and once he came through, it totally kind of stopped the whole thing. So again, if the animals are not talking, you definitely need to not talk. So if they're bugling, they're cow calling, they're responding to your calls, continue to do so. But if the woods are silent, I really encourage hunters to be silent. And this is one of those things that almost all the hunters need to pack together to do, because of the increased activity in the woods and of more hunters trying to get into the technique of calling. If you're calling when the time is not right, it truly does. I don't want to say it hurts the rut, but it hurts the animals being vocal. If they learn not to trust it, they can breed, they can do all their fall patterns without calling. So it just makes it tough for a hunting situation. So 100%, Terry, if the animals are talking and responding, continue to call. But if they are not, it's a hard sign that you definitely need to not be calling as well.
Okay, let's circle back now to the pronghorns. What should we be doing right now if we're looking for rifle pronghorn?
absolutely, Terry. So, you know, we do literally months and months of scouting when it comes time to archery hunting elk and archery hunting deer. With the pronghorn, we can shorten up that scouting. Now, obviously, if you're looking for a very particular animal, a trophy pronghorn, we encourage you to spend more time scouting. But really, the pronghorn scouting comes to kind of two phases. Number one, you need to scout just to find where animals are at. So you're looking for bucks, looking for does. You're spending a lot of time just finding that general population and where they're at, just so you have a good idea of it. And then we really try to follow through with our secondary phase of scouting, and that's going to fall literally the day or two ahead of the season. So with the rifle hunting starting next weekend, we encourage hunters to get out there the day before you hunt or 2 days before you hunt and literally find where those exact animals are. They do move around, but not that much. So if you can find a pattern the day ahead of time, you can really plan accordingly to sneak right in there and create success bright and early on that opening day. So really find them now, get a good idea, and then fine-tune that right before the hunt, and you're going to have success. The reason we talk about this, not that all pronghorn hunters do this, but so much of the pronghorn hunt is tied and kind of associated around vehicles. People will drive around just to cover ground, which I'm not even saying is a bad thing. You know, you can drive to a hilltop, glass for miles if they're not there, drive to another section and glass there. So using a vehicle as a transportation is obviously fine, but we really don't want to get in the habit of you know, pushing these animals or literally road hunting to where you're driving around trying to get out of the truck and, you know, scurry to your legal distance off the road and take a shot. The biggest reason for that is you're spooking the animals. Pronghorn are one of these animals that can go either way with the taste of their meat. If you can have a pronghorn, male or female, just naturally feeding, going along with their normal day-to-day life, and if you can make that shot, create that harvest on a calm animal, it's literally one of the best meats that you're going to have in wild games. However, if you're pushing these animals around, you know, you come over a hill and they see the truck and they take off running, and then you start your hunt. Once the animal's adrenaline's up, once they're super active, once they're running around, once all those endorphins hit them, that's when all of a sudden you start increasing the gas in the meat, and that's when you can start losing the quality of the taste in that meat. So more than anything, I encourage all the pronghorn hunters to do your homework, find them first, and really try to approach your shot and your overall hunt of the situation long before the animals see you or know you're there. The calmer that situation is, obviously the more you have time to take a shot, the more the quality of the meat's going to be there. So just encourage hunters to kind of take your time and hunt them with a little bit of ease this year. It's just better for the entire system. And with that, I have a live feed this coming Tuesday on all the Colorado Parks and Wildlife outlets. So that live feed will be at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, both on the Colorado Parks and Wildlife Instagram page as well as our Facebook page, talking about the upcoming rifle season. We'll talk about shot placement. We'll talk about legalities being around vehicles and roads. We'll talk about, you know, seeking up information as far as what legal property you can hunt and so forth. So we encourage all the hunters out there to you know, check out those live feeds on this coming Tuesday, and I think you'll get a lot of information and an expanded version of what we just talked about with pronghorn.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, one simple thing that I see upland game hunters and pronghorn hunters do is it's such a – they don't think about it, just they slam a car door. They have no idea what that does.
Absolutely. You know, noise, everybody associates noise to being negative. If it's natural noise, walking through the woods, you can make and get away with a lot of natural noise. But foreign noise, the car door slamming, car doors, you know, your horn honking, you don't realize that, you know, when you do it in a parking lot, it doesn't seem foreign. But out in the woods, you lock your door and your horn honks. Extremely foreign. Pocket change, you know, quarters in your pocket, all of that stuff is that foreign noise that is just absolutely crushing to many hunting situations.
Last question, my friend. If you were going to go fishing, we're going to have some beautiful weather next few days. Where would you go?
You know, Terry, if you're going to stay local, Chatfield, Cherry Creek, the fall bites hitting, you know, obviously our anglers aren't listening to this. We have a 28-inch walleye on the board so far at catch rate and lots of other legals. So Chatfield's doing very well. We know of a lot of big fish that came out of Cherry Creek this week. So Front Range, I would stick to Chatfield, Cherry Creek, walleye fishing, reaction bait. It is hot. If you want to go up to the hills and kind of enjoy that bite, right now I would say Antero is probably my favorite place to go. Lots of numbers as well as some really big fish. So trout at Antero or walleye in the Front Range are kind of the two hot picks right now.
if people want to get a hold of you, where do they find you, Nate?
Absolutely. You can always go to our Facebook page, Tightline Outdoors, or our website, Tightline Outdoors. I got everything associated with Tightline Outdoors, and we're excited to have everybody come check us out and have the possibility of getting on the water with us.
All right, my friend, we will talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
You bet. Nate Zielinski. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to talk to the folks at Jack's Outdoor Gear about waterfowl hunting right here on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 104.3 The Fan.